the people of East Berlin broke through the walls of their prison with the apparent blessing.
For years, the most potent symbol of the division of Europe.
After the fall of the USSR,
the people of Hungary, the Czech Republic, and Poland,
Bulgaria,
NATO expanded to Russia's borders.
Romania, Slovakia, and Slovenia, we welcome them into the ranks of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Georgia and Ukraine try to join NATO.
The Russian military machine pouring across Russia's southern border into Georgia's rebellious enclave of South Ossetia.
2008, Russia invades Georgia, and in 2014, war breaks out in Ukraine.
Ukrainian government forces say many Russian troops have been deployed in the east of the country, allowing separatists to make further advances.
Ukraine is bleeding right now, Ukraine is weeping, and Europe is completely oblivious to this tragedy.
Vladimir Putin completed his lightning and largely bloodless annexation with the stroke of a pen.
I think that it's a very straightforward political comment that basically sees Russia as a coming adversary of NATO, or an adversary that has returned from the cold.
Russia annexes Crimea. Analysts fear Russia may test NATO's resolve by interfering in the Baltic states. A man waves a flag, soldiers kneel on the ground, and a man fires down a corridor. Under Article 5 of NATO's founding treaty,
as NATO allies, we have Article 5 duties to our collective defense.
We are obliged to defend them.
Newspaper interview that Latvia, Lithuania and Estonia are at risk and NATO must be ready to repel Russian aggression.
I've come here first and foremost to reaffirm the commitment of the United States to the security of Estonia. That is a commitment that is unbreakable, it is unwavering, it is eternal, and Estonia will never stand alone.
NATO holds dozens of war games around this scenario. They are normally top secret. This film asks former top British military and diplomatic figures to decide how Britain would respond to such a crisis. World War III, inside the war room. The exterior of the Ministry of Defence building off Whitehall in London. Then a man inside walking along a corridor. This war game has been designed with the help of senior military analysts. It describes a hypothetical confrontation with Russia.
Thank you.
Outside the war room, we have used actors and archive to bring these events to life.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning, Chairman.
So, it's Estonia, as you may imagine. And this is where I think we are this morning. The situation in the Baltic states has deteriorated.
Sir Christopher Meyer, now a map.
There has been heavy rioting in the Estonian capital Tallinn overnight after scuffles broke out at the site of the former Soviet war memorial.
They say it was a peaceful act of remembrance of Russians who died fighting the Nazis. Eyewitnesses described them as being attacked by masked men with Estonian flags.
Six of the men charged with inciting violence are Russian citizens.
Russians make up almost a quarter of the population of Estonia, and many of them have rallied round to condemn what they see as discrimination and brutality by the Estonian police. The Estonian Interior Minister today issued a statement openly accusing the Kremlin of orchestrating this violence.
President Putin has condemned Estonia's treatment of ethnic Russians as disgraceful and has demanded
nervousness in NATO that Putin could look to exploit the ethnic Russian population to stir up more violence.
A woman at a rally says, "They see us Russians as occupiers, but I tell them this. You are the occupiers. It is you who order your policemen to beat up Russians and Latgalians." Peacefully protesting their rights here in Daugavpils. Well, I say no more.
Protests about the six Russian men arrested in Tallinn have now spread to the neighbouring country of Latvia.
The province has a large population of ethnic Russians and is one of the poorest areas of the European Union.
If you come from Latgale, or if you are Russian, you are a nobody. You are a second-class citizen, you know? I lived here for my whole life. But I don't have a right to vote. I even don't have a passport. We have to change that.
In Latgale province, a group of ethnic Russians storm a building and head for a man behind a counter. They strike him and he falls to the floor. Armed with a rifle, one of the group kicks a door open and heads for a window. On the balcony outside, he plucks a Latvian flag from its stand and hurls it to the crowd below. Soviet Union flags are waved by the crowd, while one of the two men above plucks an EU flag from its stand and throws it over the side. He picks up a Russian flag handed up to him, while the other man's waving a flag for Latgale province. On the ground, flags are burned. The two men then remove a Latvian coat of arms from the front of the building and drop it down to the crowd, who stamp on it.
The city's mayor, Dmitry Voslav, has appealed for calm and promised he will listen to calls for a referendum.
Using a loudhailer, Voslav addresses the crowd. This city is now under the control of the Latgalian Russian Union. I announce today that we will hold a referendum on greater autonomy from Riga. The crowd start to chant, "Referendum! Referendum!"
Such a referendum would be illegal and illegitimate. We believe Mr. Voslav is in the pay of the Kremlin. We will not accept interference in our state like this and will take necessary steps to restore law and order in Daugavpils.
At the Ministry of Defence.
I've just heard that we're going to have our permanent representative to NATO in Brussels coming over on the video conference. David.
However you read it, it's clear that this situation is more serious than recent events in Estonia.
What evidence have they brought to the council, informally or formally, on this?
Well, they're talking a lot about what's going on at the border. They're saying now the militia has control of a sizable stretch of it and that there are men and weapons pouring in unchecked from Russia.
Have you been able to take any soundings of other NATO representatives?
I think the eastern states would be supportive if there was an invocation of Article 5. I'm not sure about the Germans. I think if they were to push back, then a number of other countries would tuck in behind, Spain, Italy, and I just can't read the French position at the moment.
Okay, David, thanks very much. We will no doubt be calling on your wisdom and information.
We'll talk again. Thank you, in due course.
Thank you. The big question is this an Article 5 situation and what we should do about it? General.
Article 5 is about responding to an armed attack. By the sound of things, this is very firmly an armed attack. This is going to be, as we saw with Crimea, undermining the integrity of the state from within, manipulation of minorities, propaganda, potential use of special forces, border incursions. So I think what NATO would be wanting to do here is to get certainty, clarity of the situation, so surveillance, reinforce the Baltic air policing commitment with additional aircraft. I think NATO would almost certainly want to put a maritime presence into the Baltic, and I think also NATO would be looking to start to move elements of the Very High Readiness Joint Task Force into Latvia.
Kishwa.
I think any assistance we can give them in terms of intel, but in terms of moving troops into the country, the Russians would interpret that as escalatory, but I also think it's extremely dangerous. Miscalculation can happen. The Russians might misunderstand that you're just moving them in as a show of solidarity.
Let me press you on this, Kishwa. We cannot be surely too sensitive about Putin's sensitivities.
So we're going to sleepwalk into potentially a war with Russia because we mustn't be too sensitive about their capabilities. That's extraordinary.
I don't think this is sleepwalking.
I think the first thing is to move some troops into the country, not necessarily engage. But I think have a presence of a kind that acts as a warning to the Russians. This is a test of solidarity with the alliance.
We have seen exactly what he did in the Ukraine in his hybrid form of warfare. We have warned him quite openly not to do that with the Baltic states, and I believe we need to have some form of ground forces, NATO ground forces, not to do that straight away, I think would be a terrible mistake.
Chairman, if I may, because I think we're getting way ahead of ourselves here. Exactly. Just reflect a moment on the position you put Putin in if you start upping the military ante. The one thing that keeps you in power in Russia is a reputation for strength. If he finds himself confronted by a NATO challenge of that sort and backs down, he then loses domestically, politically. So warn them, signal all sorts of things, but moving troops seems to me to be a step too far.
We are not starting from cold. We already have deployed troops there on exercises to warn the Russians. Post-Ukraine, they've come back out again. If it were starting from cold, I would agree.
This is not Ukraine.
I would agree entirely if we were starting from cold, but we're not.
This is not Ukraine. It's a NATO country.
We're not starting from cold.
Putin knows that.
I think it is not a good idea to start deploying troops as though this is going to get worse. It's necessary to do whatever we can to de-escalate this as a row. I think that a strong statement is necessary.
At this stage in the crisis, the Russians have not admitted that they're doing anything or are directly involved. I think that's potentially useful for us. As soon as we turn this into a direct confrontation between NATO and Russia, we're on a very slippery slope.
Inside the city hall, Vorslav cries, "Shame on you," at Latvian police in riot gear. A man is struck.
There were extraordinary scenes here earlier as the mayor, having declared his intent to hold a referendum, was in effect barred from his own city hall. The riot police were then overcome by
an injured man's led away.
Riga says a warrant for Mr. Vorslav's arrest was issued on Sunday following the announcement that they would hold a referendum on greater autonomy.
Vorslav takes a call. Shit. Then get as many men as you can here. If they've got guns, I don't want to know. Night time, and as government forces edge through the fires and debris towards an occupied building, Vorslav yells at them through wrought iron gates. "Listen, go back to Riga and say the people of Latgale will not be bullied." Hostages run, terrified, through a corridor. Then a militant in a balaclava kneels on the concrete to fire his rifle at a riot cop who's made it into the building. He brings him down in a hail of bullets, then presses on through the building.
Pro-Russian groups have consolidated their control of government buildings in a number of towns and cities in eastern Latvia.
A blockade of burning tyres.
A Latvian policeman has been killed and several others injured in violence around Daugavpils town hall. The Latvian army has now been sent to restore order and there
Riga
are...
says the separatists are in control of some 20 kilometres of the border with Russia. Speaking to journalists earlier today, Latvia's interior minister Erik Jurts left no doubt as to who they believe is arming and aiding the separatists.
Our intelligence services have detected large numbers of Russians crossing the border illegally into the Latvia with armaments.
The evidence for Russian involvement in this is minimal at the moment. We have Latvian intelligence, who are neither very competent nor very impartial, telling us that there's infiltration taking place across the border. The only thing we know is happening is a major breakdown of civil order in Latvia. And to start sending off troops and all of that in response to that is massively disproportionate.
If one looks at the continuum from Ukraine, Estonia, now Latvia, it's reminiscent, isn't it, slightly of the late 30s. People like this, you have to be quick and confront them quickly, and I believe there is a case for that.
Let's have an attack on Russia which is not attributable to us, which would be a cyber attack. This would be my method of sending a message to Russia, which would be
seriously financially damaging, for example. Mm.
GCHQ can do totally unattributable attacks to take things down. So, I mean, there are options that one can play with there.
We've spent the last 50 years telling Russia we're a defensive alliance, so now we're going to launch a massive attack on them.
Nobody's talked about attacking Russia. We're talking about putting forces into Latvia, which is NATO territory.
A cyber attack.
OK, I'm expecting the National Security Advisor to come through to us, Laurel Feinstein. Laurel, what's going on at your end on this?
Yeah, the president's pushing to deploy the very high readiness task force. He feels that even though there's not a lot of evidence of hardware going in, we need to be there to dissuade the Russians. We need to reinforce the borders. We need to contain this.
How near to hot war does this take us?
At the moment, we're talking about giving weapons and support to the Latvians. NATO troops would be there in a purely defensive role, excluding the Latvians, of course.
Okay, that's very helpful. I guess we're going to have a few more conversations like this.
I would worry about the implications of encouraging Latvia to invoke Article 5 and then nothing following from that. I wonder what the Russians would read into that. I think they're just as likely to read into that that NATO is divided and can't react.
Exactly.
The foundation of NATO, Article 5, that strength of collective defence is something that is going to allow NATO to hold up that strong stop sign. And that is the way to prevent war, rather than weakness, which is the way to almost certainly stumble into war.
Right. I don't think I can honestly say there is a consensus view on all these points around this table. We're going to have a vote. It is on whether or not we would support the American position to deploy the Joint Task Force in a defensive role in Latvia. So let's go clockwise.
Yes.
We've got four on that side of the table, this side of the table.
Provided it is then put to Parliament.
Five were in favour of the proposition. And one, two, three against, and I'm not sure what you're going to say.
No, I'm against here and now.
The transmission of our decision to support the American position will be made at the North Atlantic Council.
NATO's North Atlantic Council has voted to deploy the very high readiness joint task force to Latvia. Britain contributes over 1,000 personnel to the task force.
Over the course of the next month, we're going to be deploying British service personnel to provide advice and a range of training from tactical intelligence to logistics.
Meanwhile, Russia has announced what it calls routine military exercises close to the Latvian border.
Along that border, under the guise of military exercises, what we need right now to de-escalate the situation would be for Russia to move back those troops.
A tank rolls along a road.
The Latvian army began its ill-fated operation to retake Daugavpils International Airport just before dawn. They met stiff resistance from the pro-Russian separatists, who a Latvian officer told me clearly included well-trained, professional soldiers.
Vorslav says people of Daugavpils are suffering because Riga is stopping food and medical supplies from getting here. Riga is trying to starve us. They are punishing the Latgalian people for sticking up for our rights. A group of soldiers are pulled off a truck. On the ground, you sons of bitches.
Coming in the last few minutes, we're just hearing that four British soldiers have been captured by pro-Russian militia in the town of...
Look at me. Look me in the eye. Do you know who I am? Do you? And who are these? English morons? They're mentors. Mentors. What? They're teaching you how to fight? We've seen them shooting. Give me a knife. He crouches in front of the Latvian soldier, holding the hunting knife at his chest, then says, "Who's the big man now?" before lunging at him to slice the Latvian flag off his uniform. He then shoves it into his mouth, shouting, "Eat it, you son of a bitch. Eat your fucking Latvia. Eat your flag because we don't fucking want it. Get them out of here." They make for an abandoned building.
We understand the four men were apparently helping the Latvian army with mentoring and intelligence.
We were told we were going to Latvia in a peacekeeping role, but when we got here, our orders were to fight alongside the Latvian army. And we were doing that even though NATO has denied killing Russian people in Latvia. I'm really sorry British soldiers are being ordered to do things that could hurt Russian people in Latvia. I think it's wrong, and I hope the British government will stop that.
In the war room.
So the choice confronting us today is whether we mount a rescue attempt of our four boys held prisoner by pro-Russian militia, or we leave them where they are.
Have we spoken to the UN Secretary-General?
Well, he's not going to be able to rescue them.
Have we spoken to him? Have we internationalised the situation?
I can't think of anything worse than internationalising the situation. I mean,
NATO requires in Article 5 that you internationalise by in conformance with the UN Charter.
Well, we are now operating under Article 5.
I think we're not to use the good offices of the UN Secretary-General in a hostage situation.
I've never known a good office of the UN Secretary-General ever work. Actually, I'd quite like to have the General speak. Can we do this thing? If we decided here around this table to send in an extraction force as opposed to Ban Ki-moon, as Kishwar is suggesting, could we do it?
I think we would clearly want to look at the situation, understand the position. But the question you ask is, could it be done? Yes, it could be done.
And what's the record of success, do you think? Would you like to give us odds?
High. Certainly ones I was involved in were all successful. We got a lot of assets there. There'll be a lot, because of the force that's gone in there, there'll be a lot of intelligence assets working. We'll have a very good picture of what's going on, and therefore I'm sure they can come up with a plan and action it. And if it is really only locals doing it, then it should absolutely succeed. The Russians, I believe, are involved. It'll be very interesting to see if they would do anything in terms of trying to counter that sort of thing, which would expose their hand.
I agree. I think the question for us is whether we take the Russians at face value.
Una Muirhead.
That it's not them, Gov, and therefore they, of course, will welcome our boys being brought out. And do we tell them 30 seconds before we do it, that we're doing it in order to avoid an escalation that we don't want to, so that we can contain this as a military action?
We should not share that information or that plan with the Russians, in my opinion, because they may tip people off on the ground.
If the Russians know this thing is happening, but I mean, we don't tell them, but they can see this it is happening, will they just let it happen?
My instinct is that they would let it happen, because they don't want, they're under instructions to be invisible. So I'm entirely with Alan and the others. We get our boys out.
In night vision, special forces leave a helicopter, then storm a building, hurling a grenade in ahead of them. They fire into the dark. They locate the servicemen, who run out of the building with their hands still tied.
Four British soldiers captured by separatists in eastern Latvia have been rescued.
The MOD said the operation was a complete success, and the four men are understood to be on their own.
Good afternoon. A Russian fighter jet has crashed a few hundred yards from the Latvian border just inside Russia. President Putin called the incident a grave provocation and demanded an explanation from NATO. A NATO spokesman insisted they had not shot down the jet, suggesting it may have in fact crashed due to
a surface-to-air missile makes contact with the military helicopter, bringing it down.
Shot down as it transported troops to a military base, and the Latvian army has confirmed that 15 of its soldiers were killed.
NATO sources have told me that they believe the helicopter was shot down with a surface-to-air missile fired from inside Russia.
They're adamant that it's an S-400 missile that took out the helicopter, and it was fired from Russian soil. Does that tally with your intelligence?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But what does the rest of the council think about this?
Well, I think we can expect the Americans to take a very hard line on this. Poland, of course, and the other Balts are keen. Germany is getting wobblier. Now, there's very grave concern here that if the airstrike is to happen, and if it's to be effective, it would have to be very comprehensive, and so we might easily find ourselves being tipped over into a hot war. What's the UK position?
Well, David, that is precisely what we've got to talk about here. And I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you. Well, a simple
question, but full of complicated ramifications. Are we going to respond to the shooting down of the Latvian NATO helicopter by hitting this battery on Russian soil? Yes or no? James.
Yes.
Would you like to start the ball rolling on this?
It's quite simple. Yes. They have shot down a NATO helicopter, and I think that if we fail to respond, we will be allowing Russia to push forward in a way that leads to no end to aggression, and I think that's a bad thing.
First of all, I agree we need to respond. Second point, yes, a response is proportionate, i.e. we don't nuke Moscow. But thirdly, if such a thing exists, I would far rather find a target in Latvia than in Russia. But if it's not possible, it's not possible. You do something in Russia.
I think the S-400 might well have moved by now. And I think, therefore, what we probably have to do, and this is a bit soft for me because I normally like hitting people at me, is make absolutely clear to the Russians through back channels and through any channel, through official channels, that we know that this was fired from an S-400 site, that we are now giving rules of engagement that allow immediate re-engagement, anything that's fired into the air over Latvia or Estonia or Lithuania, with an immediate response, even though it is in Russian territory.
The S-400 is part of an exceptionally sophisticated integrated air defence system. And it's not in, you are not in the business of just singling out a particular battery and deciding we're going to take that. Actually, in order to do that, you probably have to take down the whole integrated air defence system. So this is a big operation. Then on top of that, what you're doing is attacking Russian sovereign territory. And the Russians could well say, you are attacking the motherland, we will use whatever we want to respond. And they would quite easily, quite happily, use one of their Iskander missiles, one of their many Iskander missiles based up there in Kaliningrad. Furthermore, if you then look, Iskander is a nuclear missile with a range of about 400 kilometers. So Warsaw, Berlin, Stockholm are all within range.
He's absolutely right about the IADs. To actually fly aircraft over Russia, you have to take out the IADs. But taking out the IAD system is a major act of war.
The remit of this committee is to take a decision today on whether or not we should retaliate by hitting the battery on Russian soil, yes or no?
No, not on Russian soil.
There is no consensus for that around this table. Therefore, we cannot recommend that this happens.
Agree.
What we can do is send them a very clear warning that the next time there's the slightest hint of this happening, they'll get a missile down their throats, and to make it plain to them that we know that it was they who were responsible.
A convoy.
The people of Daugavpils in eastern Latvia woke up to a column of 300 Russian trucks this morning. President Putin says the column is a humanitarian mission.
This is an invasion of Latvian soil by the Russian army with the purpose of resupplying Russian saboteurs already operating in Latvia. And if they do not leave, then the Latvian army will begin operations against them.
The fiercely pro-Moscow mayor of Daugavpils, Dmitry Vorslav, greeted the Russian soldiers on the convoy as heroes. There's been no independent verification of the contents of the 300 trucks in the column, but Riga claims the vehicles...
Whitehall.
We've got the President of Russia's National Security Advisor coming through. Grigory Ivanovich, we have an elite frontline unit, one of the divisions of the Guards Air Assault, riding on the convoy with heavy equipment, which can only be regarded as military.
Well, they are generators. They are food supplies and baby formula and medical supplies. It is a peaceful humanitarian mission. In fact, we hope a possible solution to this crisis. President Putin believes he can use his influence to achieve a ceasefire. He has sent a proposal to Riga, and we believe this could be basis for talks.
Well, we will take a look at this peace proposal. The main components are as follows. Number one, all foreign powers should withdraw from Latvian territory. Second, the United Nations will take control of humanitarian and peacekeeping operations in the Latgale region. Three, all sides should respect the rights of Latgalian people to carry out free and fair referendum on greater autonomy from Riga. And lastly, NATO should recommit to not stationing any permanent troops in Latvia or other former Soviet republics. Tony, give us an expert's view of the worth of this proposal. Snap judgment.
Snap judgment, it seems to me to be the basis for a discussion. Referendum on the autonomy is going to be the hard part, of course, because that's finally a judgment for the Latvian government. But if that is the way of preventing a major war in Europe, it may be worth doing. And the fourth point, we're simply being asked to recommit to something that we've committed ourselves to already.
No, this is absolute rubbish. This actually is what Putin's overall aim has been. The next step is, does he do the same with Poland? You know, does he? I mean, this is part of NATO territory. I mean, it would be unbelievable for us to agree to those things. Absolutely unbelievable and completely letting him feel he's done exactly what he wanted to do. This
Thank
is his
you.
Aim.
We've got Washington coming through.
Hi, everybody.
There's too many soldiers on the ground for this to be what they say it is. And the president feels we've reached the moment of truth in terms of force as a response to this. We'd like to set a 72-hour deadline for the removal of all Russian personnel from Latvia. Latvia needs to be restored to full territorial integrity.
Thank you very much for enlightening us on that. We'll be talking to you again soon, Laurel.
All right, we'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you soon.
Do we, as Laurel was suggesting, do what the Americans are demanding, which is for NATO to set an ultimatum for the withdrawal of these trucks, and if the Russians fail to do it, be prepared to resort to force? In other words, if I can put it in a crude, tabloidy way, are we ready to die for Daugavpils?
I think we absolutely need to give an ultimatum, and we need to ensure that NATO has got the right sort of forces in place to be able to take military action. We also need to bear in mind, and I know this is a horrifying thought, but part of Russian doctrine is that if they do get involved in major fighting, the use of tactical nuclear weapons, for example, is just a part of that. They don't see that as anything strange. And therefore, I think we need to think very carefully of what is the readiness and what level of readiness NATO has for its nuclear forces.
General, say the ultimatum is 72 hours from midday today. What could we do when the ultimatum expires if the Russians haven't withdrawn?
NATO could take military action, but it's going to need to be overwhelmingly strong in order to snuff out any potential reaction quickly. It's got to take account of the public information perspective of being seen to support Latvians in dealing with supposedly humanitarians. But are they humanitarians? But if, as we think, they are members of the 76th Air Assault Division, well, there's only one way to do it, which is to be robust, to overmatch, and that means significant deployment of forces.
So you think the joint task force with the Latvian army is up to attacking the Guards Air Assault, the members of the Guards Air Assault Division, and actually overwhelming them?
An operation like this is not the sort of thing that you put a potentially flaky multinational force into do. I would like to see a single unified force, possibly from the Americans, coming in to just put a fire blanket over this and snuff it out completely.
Well, that's quite worrying what you've just said to us, because it suggests that the joint task force, NATO, within 72 hours, could not carry out this threat.
Latvia, if I remember correctly, Latvia's got about roughly 2 million, just under 2 million people, right? So we're seriously talking here about unleashing World War III for half a dozen boroughs of a metropolitan city. I mean, it seems to be quite extraordinary that we're doing that at the time when we have a potential peace proposal on the table.
It destroys
NATO.
We've
been offered...
That peace proposal destroys the whole concept of NATO.
Absolutely.
It destroys the whole concept of NATO.
Let me say to you that just over 100 years ago, there was a view that an alliance and alliances were more important than security of the citizens of this continent. Let's not use alliances as straitjackets.
I do think that we need to preserve some multinationality.
Ian Bond.
Because I do not think that the optics of the Americans rescuing the Europeans and the Europeans not taking part is good at all.
I agree entirely with that.
We had conniptions about the first humanitarian Russian convoy into Ukraine. We were wrong. It was a humanitarian convoy. There were all sorts of elaborate talk of Russian plots and so on, and it was a humanitarian convoy. I do not want to go into World War III while shooting down a humanitarian convoy. That puts us in the wrong in every single way, in terms of UK popular opinion, in terms of world opinion. It'd be a disaster.
These trucks are completely irrelevant. They've tabled a peace deal, OK? We need to respond to that formally. Our response to that should be completely to reject it, but we do need a deadline. It should be a deadline linked to our own military plans. And the Russian spokesman said President Putin thought he could get a ceasefire. That's what President Putin needs to help deliver.
I would like to put to the committee the simple question around which you have to say yes or no is, subject to parliamentary approval, would you agree to the American proposal for a 72-hour ultimatum for the withdrawal of Russian forces, which, if they don't do that, would be met by the use of force by us?
Yes.
I want a vote now, please.
Yes.
Who is in favour? That's 4, 5.
No.
Wrong tactics.
Madness.
I'm a no.
Wrong tactics.
You're a no. We have 5 yeses, we have 4 noes.
Oh, I think we got it.
The motion is supported.
In the past hour, MPs have voted in favour of the UK using military force, if required, to restore Latvia's territorial integrity and fulfil Britain's obligations under Article 5.
There's been a tense standoff in the Baltic Sea today, with NATO's naval group pushing east and coming within 2 miles of the Russian Baltic fleet.
Our defence correspondent Jonathan Beale sent this report from on board HMS Ocean.
It's the proof that Britain's stepping up the offensive. 4 Apache helicopters ready to launch from a warship.
President Putin says tactical nuclear weapons have now been deployed to Kaliningrad. Announcing the move, he warned that Moscow was ready to repel any aggression against Russian soil and Russian peoples.
There's a lot of rhetoric coming out of Moscow from Putin himself about Russia's nuclear forces. The question is, how should we respond to this kind of nuclear posturing? General.
Well, the answer to how do we respond to nuclear posturing is through deterrence, through raising the bar so high that Putin realizes that it's simply not worth his while trying to cross that bar. And that means conventional capability as well as nuclear capability. And deterrence is all about capability, it's about credibility, and it's about communicating that capability.
Can we deploy another submarine, nuclear submarine? In the Baltic, in a kind of visible way, which we could tell the Russians.
They would know if we deployed another submarine. The other factor is that the Moscow criteria of destroying Moscow, all of their command, all of their government and everything, is probably not quite met by one boat. If we deployed a second boat, that has a message in itself. Having one boat is capable of just firing one missile and using it in a sense tactically, I mean, dangerous stuff, but...
Here's a rather elementary question. Are the missiles targeted at Russia now?
We have set an example in the world by not targeting our missiles, and they are at prolonged notice for fire. But
so
at the moment,
they aren't targeted.
As we speak, they're not targeted.
It can be done
very quickly.
Kishwa.
The idea that we've given them this very, very tight deadline and asked them to come up with a humiliating climb down on the back of this deadline. I really wonder whether, now we're talking nuclear weapons, I really wonder whether we know what we're doing. I don't like it one bit. I think somehow we've got to find some face-saving measure to extend the deadline.
The deadline was dumb,
exactly.
Not to say disastrous. We now need to find a way of backing away from it. Launch a peace proposal, whatever, you publicly get some talks going.
I'm worried about that because I think the signal that sends to Putin is that he has, in effect, unilateral nuclear deterrence.
You'd rather have a nuclear exchange?
But the purpose of showing that we are ready for such an exchange is precisely to deter it. Whereas if you make clear that what you're trying to do is to back away...
Ian, you are edging us further and further towards Armageddon.
Absolutely, exactly. We are not getting...
Putin is edging us further and further towards Armageddon.
We have choices. No. We have choices.
And
we
so
need
does
to
he.
Exercise those choices. And the choices that you're recommending to us just are Armageddon.
I do believe that the 72-hour deadline must be kept, and I think we can also say through back channels and things, look, you know, this is all getting very dangerous now. Yeah. We are actually correcting things in Latvia. Let's not let this become anything great. We're not attacking Russia, you know.
Specifically and operationally, how do we respond?
We bring our forces to 15-minute readiness to fire, which
and
is what was in the Cold War.
Yeah.
And I think,
yes.
And I think probably, and this is why I thought we ought to have the date, we should tell him.
I think we are agreed that there should be an intensive diplomatic effort to try and bring this thing down from the potential nuclear clouds, but at the same time we should respond to his nuclear blackmail and signal some key things to him, such as the targeting, so that he knows that if he's going to do this, we are serious.
NATO headquarters.
NATO's North Atlantic Council has been meeting in closed session for 6 hours, debating their next steps now that the deadline for Russian withdrawal from Latvia has passed. Speaking in Brussels, the German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, said she believed a negotiated settlement was still possible and that she would push for the deadline to be extended.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
For
good morning.
Rather obvious reasons, Admiral West cannot be with us this morning.
The German Chancellor is not ready to start an offensive operation. And our clear priority has to be in seeking a ceasefire and not to escalating this into a third world
war. It's not just the Germans, Christopher. I'm afraid I have no good news for you. The Belgians, the Danes, the Spanish, the Greeks, the Italians, they're all pushing for an extension to the deadline and increased diplomatic pressure.
Let me tell you, if President Putin wanted to test NATO and see it fail, I think he's been doing a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. The Joint Chiefs and SOCR still feel that retaking Daugav Pils in the surrounding area would be a relatively short campaign, but only if we move right away. So right now, we are talking about a coalition of the willing.
So we're looking at the fragmentation of NATO over this. If we do this thing, we'll be in the company not only of the United States, but of France, the three Baltic states, and Poland. Is this a workable coalition? Can this be done?
Very workable.
Very workable.
I would be in favour of joining an American-led coalition of the willing. I think that joining that coalition gives us rights of consultation and of diplomacy. In other words, that this is not something where we are the passive recipients of orders from elsewhere.
We should take Chancellor Merkel's idea that the deadline could be extended. She has already made it clear that she's unwilling for any military force to be used, even inside Latvia, which is a fundamental mistake. It may have been understandable in the context of Ukraine, it is not understandable in the context of a NATO member state.
There is only one Western politician whom Putin listens to. Give Merkel the right brief, she has a tremendous incentive to try and sort out the diplomatic
deal. But she has no leverage, because she's rejected the leverage.
No, but she does this on behalf of the West. The point is, back to the two tracks, yes, we go with the coalition of the willing, but the condition is that there is time...
She had leverage.
If I may. Yeah. There is time for Merkel actually to try and sort out another way out.
Putin is a good Leninist, or at least he was before he became an even better capitalist. He knows that if you thrust in the bayonet and you meet nothing but mush, you keep pushing. And what I think he would take from a discussion like this is that there's still plenty of mush in the West.
We can demonstrate that that ultimatum meant something by now starting to ramp up militarily. It doesn't mean we have to actually get out our guns and point them and start shooting. We can build up as we are doing all these other things that we've talked about at the moment.
The longer you leave it, the more difficult this nut is going to be to crack. We've got enough in Latvia from potentially Americans, British, French, other Baltic states, i.e. members of the coalition of the willing, which, and if you've got that, actually, you could probably do something like this pretty quickly.
We'll have a vote now. Who agrees with the proposition that we join the American-led coalition?
Well, this is plus all the diplomacy before it actually
fights. I have already set out
on those terms,
the package.
What's the point of diplomacy if you've already agreed a position in advance?
It's what is known in the trade as a twin-track position.
This is not twin-track. It's
preemption. By a majority of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, by a majority of 7-1, we are agreed to join the American-led coalition, and your objection will be recorded in the minutes of this meeting.
In night vision,
British and American soldiers launched an offensive overnight to retake the city of Dagafpils. Several thousand troops are believed to have been involved in the operation, which began in the early hours of the morning.
Just after midnight, the US began a massive helicopter deployment in these fields behind me. Several thousand Marines then advanced on Dagafpils.
Coalition forces are in control of central Dagafpils. Pro-Russian separatists are believed to have taken heavy casualties.
On the road to Vandani this morning, I saw the bodies of two British infantrymen lying where they fell when their patrol was ambushed last night. The Ministry of Defence has confirmed that four soldiers were killed.
The body of a soldier lying on sodden ground. A missile soaring into the night sky, then a military ship sinking in a cloud of smoke.
We're getting reports of a possible nuclear explosion in the Baltic Sea. Eyewitnesses described a blinding white light.
The Iskander nuclear warhead appears to have been detonated nearly a kilometre in the air above HMS Ocean and USS America. Both ships would have been devastated immediately by the fireball from the blast. Over 800 Royal Marines and nearly 400 crew are believed to have been killed.
Grigory Ilanovich.
This was an unintended strike. The commander exceeded his authority and will be dealt with. President Putin would like to convey to the UK that Russia does not want a nuclear war. All tactical and strategic weapons have been taken off the highest state of readiness. He deeply regrets the loss of life on board of the naval group.
Grigory, thank you for passing us that message. Thank you for your condolences. This is something we will need to discuss.
Clearly, this is a very grave situation. There's been significant, massive loss of American and British lives. And the world teeters on the edge of nuclear war here.
The question here is whether we take this apology seriously.
I think the message is please don't retaliate. So I think that they are trying to stop us doing that.
Do you think it's a mistake?
I'm not sure I'm really interested in that. I don't rule it out, but I do think the fact that they're making, that they've decided to play it like this, which is in itself pretty humiliating, tells me something about their desire not to see the world go up.
Take them to a lower stage of readiness.
Yes, I think we need some verification of that. I would be inclined to say that we should continue our operations on the ground. And I think that's the important thing to do. And I think I'm rather attracted by the idea of the moment we actually keep our political and diplomatic powder dry and get on with our operation. Our objective is to get the Russians out of Latvia.
You're going to have the Sun and the Daily Mail saying, we have let him get away with the murder of 1,200 British servicemen. Why aren't we doing something about it? And what are we going to say? So how do you deal with
that? This is why the threat of a retaliation, a public threat of a retaliation, if anything else happens, it's one of the reasons why it's important. There's going to be a lot of people out there thinking the world could end tonight or tomorrow.
No, I think that's dangerous, that we say to them that we've notched up our alerts and that if anything more happens, we will engage in a retaliatory strike. They've said they made a mistake. It's the miscalculation we've been talking about for weeks in this room. I certainly don't think we need to be saying now that if you ever do this again, we're standing by, right, ready to respond.
Well, how many more rogue commanders has he got?
Hold on, Kishma, hold on. Laurel, hi, how are you?
There, hi. I need to tell you that after much thought, the President has come down on the side of a like-for-like, limited nuclear strike on a purely military target. And we're wondering what you feel about that.
I need to go back to the group and discuss this.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think we should do everything we can to discourage the Americans from a like-to-like.
Is that the view of all?
This gives us the opportunity to say to the Russians, if you mean this, march out of Latvia now. You drop your flags and you raise the white flag of surrender and get out of Latvia.
Well, I think we shouldn't go that far.
Well, verify nuclear weapons, UN inspectors to look at all your nuclear weapon sites, and meanwhile, we want an unconditional guarantee that you will not threaten your neighbour's territorial integrity.
I think we have to threaten a retaliation if this happens again. If we approach this as a situation in which President Putin has to be humiliated and people have to start waving white flags, I think we will not get out. We will just end up killing ourselves and killing each other. We have to give them a way out.
Pauline, you agree with this? Are you in the like for like camp?
I'm very uneasy about it, I must admit. However, I think that our threat to take action, you know, does have to have some credibility about it. So we do need to be prepared to strike. But I must say, I would, in this instance, argue with the Americans a bit, I think, first.
But I think it would be grossly impertinent of us, they having lost a ship themselves, to tell the Americans not to do what they appear to be.
We too have lost a ship.
We have lost a ship, but we can make our decision. But I think the United States is entitled to make their decision. But I would agree with what the general says, that the proof of what the Russians are saying is to be seen in whether they now withdraw from Latvia. If they do not, it's clearly more Maskirovka. And then I think all bets are off, and I think we really should be ready for an imminent nuclear strike.
I thought a couple of sessions ago, when we agreed that we would, when the rest of you agreed to support the Americans, I thought the tone of the meeting was, but we have to be equal partners. We have to actually be there, being listened to, rather than just being their poodles. Yet now, we're being told that we'd be impertinent. I think the British public would be quite shocked at the idea that we might be impertinent in asking the Americans to hold back.
Because I don't think we should get personal.
We must recognise that the Americans may choose to take their own decision.
Precisely.
Yeah.
I think it is perfectly possible for the Russians to continue to fight in Latvia while sincerely regretting the fact that a nuclear weapon has been launched.
Possibly, but they have to do something to make
amends. I mean, for Putin actually to apologise, that's not something that he needs to do if he is using a nuclear weapon deliberately, and therefore I think it would be a big mistake for the Americans to launch a like-for-like strike, because actually that would then tend to feed the logic of escalation again.
It wipes out the fact that he's gone beyond the rules, if you see what I mean, if we do retaliate straight away, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm. It doesn't matter if Putin is lying. It doesn't matter at all.
No, I'm not interested
what
in that.
What matters is how we proceed from this situation in the way that best protects the British people and British interests.
In a sense, I'm with Tony here, that it's what we can now, to avoid the worst possible case of mutually assured destruction, but on the other hand, to demonstrate strength, which is why I come back to unconditional surrender in Latvia.
You can't have that. Unconditional surrender is we can't use that kind of phraseology.
Right, well,
the entire room is against that.
Let's get the Russians to march out of Latvia, and be under no illusions that the threat of we will press the button if there's any sort of hint of a repeat.
So I would now conclude that the sense of this meeting is that we are not with the Americans on like-for-like response, that we continue with our ground offensive in Latvia to get the Russian troops out, that we say to the Russians, be in no doubt at all, if this happens again, we will retaliate massively.
A naval fleet picked out in crosshairs, then a blinding white flash. The viewfinder judders, then the edges of a mushroom cloud billow into focus.
The Americans have decided not to take our advice and have used a tactical nuclear weapon to take out a target in Russia. Russian nuclear ICBMs are being readied for launch. If they launch, we will have just a few minutes to make a decision. assuming that one or more of these missiles is targeted at London. And that decision will be, do we fire back? Or more precisely, what are the instructions that we give to our Trident commanders? General.
Well, the military advice can only be that to ready the Tridents, to reduce the notice to move, and to implement targeting procedures should the political order be to fire.
I think we should publicly reiterate that our weapons are ready for use and that they are targeted.
I'm going to go round the room one by one on this, but if we get confirmation that they are launched and are targeted at London, do we say fire or do we say don't fire?
I said don't fire.
I would say fire.
Well, the targeting that the UK chooses is military installations. It does not choose populations. I say fire.
No, absolutely not. The whole point of having continuous at-sea deterrence is that we're not vulnerable. We've got a guaranteed second strike capability.
But if first strike is heading towards centres of population
and a decision to fire missiles from Trident submarines in the Atlantic, whether it's before or after, is not going to save those population centres. My answer to that question is no.
No, right. James. My answer to do we retaliate is yes.
Given the whole concept of deterrence, nuclear deterrence, is founded on the fear of retaliation, I think we certainly have to give all the signals that we would retaliate.
You're dodging the question, actually.
I am, because it's too horrible to contemplate.
Is it too difficult?
And for weeks I've sat here trying to say this is where we would end
answer.
Up.
I need your answer.
So I need to press you. Deterrence is based on a realistic pledge to retaliate.
And so you would retaliate?
I leave it at that.
On the assumption that that deterrence has failed, on the assumption that millions of Brits are about to die, the choice that faces the British government is, do we pointlessly kill millions of Russians, the point that our weapons having failed, or not? And the answer, in my mind, that's a no-brainer. You don't.
Pauline has confirmed it, that our missiles are not aimed at population centres.
Well, that's
they're aimed at military targets.
I'm happy to take out a few tens of thousands of Russians, but if we're talking about a massive Trident response for no reason, given that we've failed to deter, then you don't do it.
I'm not sure I can decide to use it without knowing that
it's actually landed.
Can we have a yes or a no?
Not until it's landed.
Who is in favour of giving instructions to our Trident commanders to fire? If launch is confirmed, who would vote yes to instruct the Trident to fire?
Sir Christopher Meyer, Lord Arbuthnot and Baroness Neville Jones.
Three in favour. Who is in favour of not instructing the commanders to fire?
The others all raise their hands.
Then the noes have it.
Sir Christopher Meyer leaves the MOD building via a side door, then adjusts his coat collar as he walks out into the night.